Our subject this morning, taking Jesus at his word. So ask a question, are we ready to take Jesus at his word? Are we ready to live by faith, or will we settle for an existence ruled by doubts? I'd like to read to you from John's Gospel. We're going through the book of John, as you know. And this is where we're up to now, John chapter 4, starting in verse 43. After 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and to heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. Now the man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, recently, looking in this book of John, in chapters 3 and 4, we have witnessed two great conversations. So we saw Jesus in deep conversation with Nicodemus in chapter 3, and then in chapter 4, that amazing conversation between Jesus and that Samaritan woman. What is interesting is this. Nicodemus went to Jesus and started the conversation, whereas in the case of the Samaritan woman, the woman was at the well and Jesus went to her. Jesus went to the Samaritan woman and he started the conversation. Now, on some occasions, people went to Jesus, and on other occasions, Jesus went to them. So if we as a church want to reach out to people in our neighborhood, what should we be doing? I think we should be doing both. Let's pray that God will bring people to us, and we thank God that he's been doing that recently. And let's also get out there and meet people too. So we've had those two great conversations. And now today in the passage we've just read, we see Jesus performing two acts of mercy, two healings. In the first instance, someone comes to Jesus and asks for mercy. And in the second instance, Jesus finds someone in need and he makes the first move, offers mercy. So we ask the question again, what should we do? Let's pray that God will bring people to us, and let's also get out there and meet people too. People need a savior. They need a smile. Yeah? They need the word of God. They may need a kind word. Just occasionally we get to know someone that needs a bag of shopping. Maybe we go and buy them a bag of shopping. Or maybe we see someone in the supermarket car park, they need just a hand putting their own shopping into their own car because they're struggling and the trolley's running away. They may need an invite for a coffee in your home or somewhere in town. They may need an invite to a group within the church, and we have so many groups, don't we, within our church. They might appreciate an invite to the barn dance, and I've got tickets here, and that was the one thing I forgot to mention. There's the barn dance coming up. We've got the tickets. They might welcome an invitation to Mums in Prayer, or to the Saturday walking group, or to Brothers in Arms, or to the Easter party that we're putting on for the kids, or the lunch club that's starting this Thursday. They might appreciate an invite to Beloved. Some people might even appreciate an invite just to meet together with the pastor. Maybe you want to say, come and meet Mark. People might make the first move. Let's be ready for when they do, but they might silently be hoping that we would make the first move. Let's be ready for that too. John chapter 4, verse 43. After the 2 days, Jesus left for Galilee. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival because they had been there too. You see, news travels fast. And if anyone had not been at the Passover festival, surely they would have heard about what's been going on because someone would have told them. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. A sign like that, a miracle like that, no one's going to forget anytime soon. And whilst he was there, this royal official came to him and begged Jesus to go and heal his son, who was close to death. Just as Nicodemus had heard of Jesus and went to Jesus, this royal official went to Jesus. The question is, would Jesus have time for him? Or perhaps more correctly, would Jesus make time for him? You see, Jesus was always busy. There were so many demands on his time. Demands on his energy, and I tell you what, all those criticisms that he received too from the Jewish leaders all the time, I tell you what, criticisms, they wear you down. And Jesus said to this man, unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. But this man knew that Jesus could help him, and he was not going to give up. And he says, sir, come down before my child dies. We need to actually be praying that God will make people in our community desperate for him. Our job is half done when people come to a church and say, I'm desperate for God. Just tell me. Just open the word for me. What a blessing. And what does Jesus reply? Go, your son will live. What would you do if you were that man? Would you believe? Would you go? Would you? Could you? Could you really take Jesus at his word? The royal official took Jesus at his word, and we see now that he is on his way home. But just try and get inside his head for a moment. What is he thinking? What is he feeling? What's going on inside his head as he drives home? Is he thinking? Is he praying? Is he hoping? Is he longing as he drives? Well, he's nearly home now. He hasn't got much further to go. He's done the bit on the M25. He's done the stretch on the M3. He's gone around these local roads. He's just gone past Coral Reef. And now he's going along 9 mile ride. And someone meets him going the other way. And as it happened, because it was late at night, well, the road was clear. So the two cars, they stopped alongside each other. I know you sticklers for the rules are saying you shouldn't do that, and I'm not saying you should, but they did. They both put down their windows, and they had a brief conversation there on the road. Look, verse 51, it's there. While he was still on the way home, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. All of that thinking, that praying, that longing, that hoping, that trusting, all of that taking Jesus at his word, it had not been in vain. The news, the boy is alive. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him. And then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had told him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Can we take Jesus at his word? Can we believe in him? Can we walk in his promises? Because in this same book, John's Gospel, just a few weeks ago, just a few chapters back, in John chapter 1, verse 12, we read these words, to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Can we take Jesus at his word? Can we believe in him? Can we walk in his promises? Can we walk as children of God? Can we take him at his word and live as children of God? And now I want to move on to the second of these acts of mercy. This is in now John chapter 5. So there was in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, and here a great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. It's kind of like a hospital with a difference. A hospital for people who are not getting better. Do you get that? What a sad place it was. What kind of people used to lie by the pool? We get a description. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. How many needy people used to lie by the pool? The answer's in the text. A great number. And how many people did Jesus specifically approach? Just one. Just one. And I want us to get this. Anyone and everyone can come to Jesus. Anyone and everyone can call out to Jesus. Anyone and everyone can receive Jesus. And sometimes in the most unlikely places, in a prison, someone will come to know Jesus. In a hospital, in a nursing home, in a supermarket car park, in a porter cabin on a building site, in the home of a believer together with someone who believes in Jesus. But sometimes people turn to Jesus on their own, in their own homes, because God is calling them. Anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone can call out to Jesus. Anyone can receive Jesus. So please, I appeal to you, do not accuse God of being unfair. Because anyone can come. But we also see that sometimes God searches out individuals to come to him. Look again, please. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. That's verse 5. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Any of the dear folk that were lying there on that occasion could have called out to Jesus. And yet we see Jesus approached one of them specifically. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Jesus, in his mercy, reaches out to people who need him. And when God starts touching people, who start complaining? Who? When God starts touching people, who is it that starts complaining? It's in the text. Religious people. Religious people start complaining when God touches people. It's in the text. Look. Verse 9. "The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, 'It is the Sabbath,' and they quoted the law at him, 'The law forbids you to carry your mat.' But the man," and I love him, he says, "well, the man who made me well, he told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" I have a feeling they knew who it was who healed him. And this use of this term, "Who is this fellow?" It's kind of a disrespectful term, perhaps. You see, the Jewish leaders, they had no heart. Someone had just been healed. Jesus had set this man free, and all they could do was criticize, condemn, and complain. But look at verse 13. The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. You see, the man had felt the power of God. He'd felt the love of God. He'd felt the compassion of Jesus. Jesus had healed him. Jesus had set him free from 38 years of illness. And the interesting thing, this man did not even know the name of the person who had healed him. He didn't at this point know the name of Jesus. He had felt the compassion of Jesus without knowing all of the theology. And I would challenge us as a church here, Great Holland's Free Church. You know that we are part of FIEC, which is the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, a great organization. We have 613 churches in the UK within FIEC. And one of the characteristics of the FIEC churches is that we are committed to the Word of God, preaching, teaching, explaining in a no-nonsense way the Word of God. And I would say this, perhaps we are good at teaching the Word of God. Perhaps we are good at teaching the words of Jesus. But I think let us pray that we can also be used by God to share the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus. You see, sometimes people went looking for Jesus. Sometimes people will come to us looking for Jesus, We've got to be ready to meet them when they arrive. Sometimes Jesus went looking for people. Let's ask God to show us the people who are on his heart. And let's ask God to equip us so that we will be ready to reach out to them with the love of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and the compassion of Jesus.